Stand by to receive our transmission.
I loved about when I first moved here about Thai food.
What
was the first time I got sweet and sour something and discovering it wasn't like fried?
Oh yeah.
Like, because I had only had that in my stomach earlier than it should have, started not liking deep fried sweet and sour.
Oh yeah, so, definitely.
I love the sauce, and so then when discovered Thai food, I still forget sometimes, and so.
The first time I ever had Thai food was after I moved to Washington.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, because I'm from Bakersfield. So it's like you have Mexican food, you have Chinese food, or you have burgers or spaghetti. It's like that's all there is. They opened a poke place.
Spaghetti. And I like that.
It closed after like 3 months.
Did you know poke places are not poke stops? Just FYI. I mean, they are, technically, but not what you think they should be.
No, yeah, no, it ain't poke.
I went to one, and I was like, where are the poke balls? I can't, there's nothing to swipe.
Where's the gym, man?
Tara, Tara Wiedner.
Yep.
I have a surprise for you.
Uh-oh.
This is not Black and a Half.
Oh.
This is the first episode of a new podcast. Technically Black and a Half production, but it's a new podcast. This is episode kind of two. The one's like a 5-minute intro to get me on there. It's called You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference, love. You're home. Watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it didn't hit. No, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.
Thank you for having me. I'm so honored.
I thought it'd be great. It's going to be a two-part. Well, maybe this is episode three. I don't know. So here it is. Here's the premise of the podcast. Yeah. I'm going to review movies. I'm going to put all my movie reviews on here to focus. Okay. I got to focus, and to get a bigger audience, they need to know where to go to watch reviews and to know the movie. Black and a Half, they're like, what's that? I don't know. Comedy, you're reviewing? What is that? It's messy. Mm-hmm. It's messy. It's hard to find new people for movie reviews. So, branching off, you're watching. Well, my interviews will be over there. These will be my movie reviews. And then the one after that will be my discussion episode where we're free to talk about spoilers.
Oh.
Review episode, no spoilers. Probably a lot shorter. But then I can bring someone on that's seen it. That we can talk about the movie in depth without worrying about, hey, am I going to spoil or whatever? Like, and it doesn't have to be, it can be a new movie. Could be an old movie, right? Like that somebody says you should watch this or we watch it together virtually. I don't know. And then,
dig it.
Yeah. So this is either episode two or episode three, but I've second one I'm recording. So
gotcha. Nice.
I don't know what episode this is. That's the name of the episode. No. And so
11.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. My guest this week was Tara Wiedner. I didn't forget it in 5 minutes. She literally watched a movie with me. Went to a early screening. I apologize. I thought it was a press screening. And then they told me that day we got tickets. I'm like, what? Wait, hold on. Is there... And you know what? I was tripping out first because I was like, whoa, do I have to rush to get a seat? Like, what is this?
Right.
And then they said, no. It's like a normal movie where you have reserved seating. And I'm like, what? And I was like, oh my God, I'm so old. that to somebody else younger than me, a normal movie, there's reserved seating. And I'm like, oh, you know, there's been a lot of bad things about movies in the last 10 years. The prices being way more. People don't know how to behave at movie theaters. But the one good thing I love is assigned seating. It takes the one stressful part out of a movie for me out.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that. Now, press screenings, now it's I'm back to running for a seat, but there's only like 20 of us. So I never really, there's not much room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not, I'm not worried about sitting up front or something. But it's, so we had reserved seats and came. Got there and then, I saw trailers for the first time. Like, what?
Which I missed because I was late.
Yeah, this is fine. They're scary. And so we saw Body. Okay, I gotta get my review up, right, to be able to follow along. Hopefully, people will listen to the last episode, which was the review, and. So Bodies. It's, the synopsis was when a group of 20 somethings get stuck at a remote mansion during a hurricane, a party game gone very, very wrong ends with a dead body on the ground and fake friends at every turn as they try to find the killer among them. rated R, 2022 horror comedy, hour 35, which I will say now, I'm like, oh, I guess it did feel that way. It felt very quick. And sometimes that's a sign that's a really good movie to me. And so I'm like, oh, that's how much it felt. Yeah. So I guess that was okay. That wasn't abnormal. I'm curious what I haven't gotten to look yet to see how it's doing on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, I haven't even looked.
I mean, so spoiler for me alert on my feelings just right off. I was over the moon enthusiastic about it. This is crazy. It's a 90. It has 90 right now. It's rated 90% from critics, 75% from audience. I actually thought that would be maybe flipped at most. I thought audiences were going to like it a lot more. So I'm glad. Critics are saying impeccably cast and smartly written. Bodies is an uncommon, well done whodunit.
I agree.
Nice. What? Okay. First of all, is your genre horror? Is that your go-to? What's your relationship with horror?
So horror is definitely like up there in my favorite genres.
Okay.
But this actually hit like right in the bullseye. I like the horror comedy.
Yeah.
I like the weird whodunit or the, oh my God, we killed them. How do we hide the body? And then hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
That was my jam. So once the movie started, like, honestly, I hadn't seen a preview. I thought that it was going to be like a zombie movie. You hear bodies. Okay. I'm like, okay, zombies, whatevs.
I get that.
And then we get there and I'm like, oh, this is dope. And then by the time the movie ended and it wrapped and it comes to the big twist and everything, I was like, okay, I'm going to see that again.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's probably going to go into like the level of 13 Ghosts, where it's like that one horror movie where even when you don't really want to watch it, you're going to watch it if it's on.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to fall into that category of it'll just always be good.
It's one of the first movies that in a long time that I've said, I can't wait to watch it again.
Yes.
Like I will watch this in a second. Like tell my daughter, oh, you want to go see, cause I wasn't sure about horror, like taking her to, cause I had a bad experience doing that accidentally to her. So I was like, if you want to see this, I will take you to see this. I really want to see this movie again. I want to watch it again. It was so fun. And I definitely, the horror comedy draws me in. Mm-hmm. I think the comedy aspect of it, I get really scared during horrors. I don't go to a lot because of that. The premise has to be really strong because I know it's going to scare the crap out of me. Because Stranger Things scares the crap out of me. like something like, you know, it doesn't scare me as much as I'm fine during it. And then my garage was left open and I'm like, I'm fine. And then I walk in and I'm like, okay, real quick. Was that something? What is that? And I'm like, Stranger Things isn't even that kind of horror. I don't know what I'm like.
But it's supernatural and there's something in the back of your brain that goes, tense. That could probably happen.
Yeah. It gets, just makes you tense about then.
Gives me high blood. Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't have that feeling leaving. Like I wasn't nervous walking to my car or anything after Body Body. So the comedy helps dispel some of that.
I think there were more. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I couldn't even remember how bloody it was. So like, because I also saw one site didn't say horror. It said it was like thriller comedy. And I was like, did the comedy make up for so much of it that I kind of forgot? Because I remember when you see, and we're going to, hey, this is your last chance, folks listening. We are about to spoil this movie hardcore. Okay.
Good.
So pause now. If you don't want to get spoiled, go back and listen to the review. We're about to destroy this film from a spoiler standpoint. Audience listening right now on the video. So Pete Davidson's character, when he gets slashed, like that is bloody. Like we see him, they find his body, right? That is slashed and bloody. But then I was trying to remember, I was like, I don't remember like a decapitation.
The kettleball.
Kettleball is pretty brutal.
That was pretty, that dude's head exploded. Right.
Yeah. That's right.
That wasn't even a decapitation. That was a demutilation. And then it just like deflated.
That's right. Cause all I was thinking about how she hit him on the head once on the back. Oh, I forgot about the second time.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Popped his head like a damn zit. It was great.
So it's a horror. So, but not like, I don't know. It was just, so I didn't want anyone to like, cause I had just seen Bullet Train with somebody who doesn't like horror. Bullet Train's not a horror. It's definitely almost Kill Bill level of like over the top violence. Like when there is, it's like, the head was just sliced off. But it's like exaggerated. And so you're like, that's not real. It's ridiculous. But it's still like kind of gross. And I was trying to say, like, I don't think this one is super gory. It's so good. But I'm going to tell you, it's a horror. I may have forgotten something. So don't be shocked if you go in. You have to deal with that. But otherwise, then a few moments, it's really solid, even if you're not a horror fan. Because I'm not a horror fan. I wouldn't say I'm a fan. I can deal with it. I love genre. I love genre film. So, yeah, I think if I can deal with it, I think most people should. I guess I can deal with some violence on screen. So if you can't deal with any violence, no. But
I think it would be safe to say it's not a slasher film.
No. Yeah.
But it is a horror film with some violence and gore.
Right.
Yeah. There we go. There's our legal disclaimer.
Yeah. So I'm getting mad at Silas and Tara.
Maybe an ace bandage on it. Not going to need a transfusion.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing I talk about often is like, I like to, when I look at a film, I always try to come up with at least three good things and at least three bad things about the film. My favorite things about this film, the comedy, very funny. A new favorite, the suspense, because I watch a lot of movies and I feel like I tend to see the red herrings. I see I see who they're trying to make think is the person. And then when they're trying to deflect it, I feel, but I kept feeling like every time, like I was like, oh, it's going to be them. Then it wasn't. And then it wasn't. And oh, they're not even what, like it just kept, I feel like every time I thought I had something figured out, they switched it up on me and, or the character
that's what made
dead.
It good.
And then I was like, is one of those dead people alive? Are they going to do that thing where it's like they're dead, but they're not?
That's called The Days of Our Lives.
And so there was just so much suspense for me trying to figure the film out through it, like equal to comedy. And then for me, I was worried that I was, sometimes I worry that I'm reading too into a film, and that people like no one else sees this, because that's been happening. That happened a little with Nope, I think. Like, I've said stuff I've heard nobody else say, right? Now, I said the satire was one of my favorite. And this is what I wrote. I said the satire of the film to me seemed to be a commentary on the juxtaposition of the starring generation. This is a generation that is really in touch with their emotions and aware how their words can harm other people. Yet at the same time, they feel empty inside. Right? Like, they are very, and they make all these points about like, I hear you. I see you. I understand feel that way. You're valid. But then I'm like, but you're awful, but you're an awful person. And you like have nothing going on, right? They're all doing drugs because they don't have, and not that you can't, all druggies out there, you can have your drugs and have fun. I get it. But this is definitely, they're doing it because they're all rich and they're covering up that the fact that money, too much money cannot buy happiness. They have too much money and they don't know. They're so aware of everything, but they are so unaware of themselves and what to do with their life. And I felt there was some commentary on that. I don't know if that was me reading extra.
No, there was definitely commentary on that.
Okay.
They even touched on the fact that they were aware that it was their parents' money and not theirs, and that they were just a bunch of spoiled brats.
That's true. They did acknowledge that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't often hear that. Like, you have to talk about that later.
It was very self-aware. Like, it was self-aware to a point that it was comical. And you could pick up that was obvious, especially like that whole scene where it's like, you're triggering. This is narcissist. You're so codependent. Why are you gaslighting me? And I'm like, this is couples therapy.
Yeah.
With four girls. it was hilarious.
I have a 15-year-old. You have a teen too, right? Or are they older?
He'll be 20 in October. 20. So okay. Does that still count?
Kind of that generation. They're in the same generation. I think about this a lot with my daughter. Like, a lot of people rag on this generation for being snowflakes and blah, 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 whatever. And I do defend them a lot. I say, you know what? These are some of the greatest multitaskers you'll ever meet. These are kids who have grown up doing freaking, they have grown up doing shooter drills in their school. Like, I was like, everyone has anxiety nowadays. Yeah, you would too. If every day you went to school, you thought about getting shot. That my kindergartners learned. When my daughter was like in first grade, they were teaching her like, hey, and so you might have to throw things at somebody. You just throw a book, whatever you got to throw it at them, just do. And like, this is a first grader. Are you kidding me?
They know how to barricade doors too.
Yeah. Yeah. And they know to hide underneath another body if that happens. So I'm like, let's have some compassion and empathy for this generation who's growing up in one of the most stressed out generations possible. And they're so aware, and they're so like, I admire my daughter's ability to be so fluid with, like, I mean, look, I can't even remember their names sometimes, right? Let alone like if that they can master their friends who their friend, they've told me about their friends, and sometimes they're the same friend is male or female, and it changes each year from what how they're identifying. And she flows with it so well. And I'm like, I can't even, like, someone gets a haircut and I'm lost. And I'm I don't know them anymore.
I don't know you anymore.
So,
you have bangs. You're a different person. Just,
And I'm like, I was like, and you have no problem dating with anybody here? And I'm like, no. And I was like, my daughter, I tell him, like, look, I couldn't even date someone who used to be a Republican. So I can't, I don't understand. Like, you accept change so much. It's amazing. Like, there's so much empathy in that. But then they're still like, you know, and they're still figuring themselves out. It's a, I think it's an amazing generation, a very aware. And, but then I do worry, you know, besides, I mean, even before COVID, worrying about the way they interact with people. My daughter just broke up and got back together with her boyfriend all over text.
Wow.
Right? And I was like, you're not talking? You know, because they say, oh, I was talking to so-and-so, and they don't mean that. They mean they text.
No.
And I'm like, yeah. You can't get back together by text too. Like at some point, I worry sometimes the only time this generation like sees each other, then they're like physical, right? They're like, just hang out. Right? I don't know.
On the positive side though, like if you're breaking up and getting back together via text, you've got everything in writing.
That's true.
And you could be like, yeah. Okay, but you said this. You
co-signed on this.
And you did not follow through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're over again.
Yeah.
Then.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's efficient.
So anyway, I think it's a great satire on a generation without also being, I don't think it was insulting for them. I felt empathy toward rich people, which is rare.
Oh God. Did you just say that out loud?
They
don't deserve empathy. They can buy their own empathy. Don't give it to them freely. It felt a little validating for first world problems.
Yeah. What were your favorite things about the film?
Oh God. For the first 10 minutes, I was like, this is dumb. Oh my God. They're just banking on boobs, a red bathing suit, and the fact that they've got Pete Davidson in the lineup. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this chick that's nothing but boobs in a bathing suit, she's kind of a pivotal character that ends up, you know, kind of not being such a dumbass.
Yeah. And
Pete Davidson was so likable that I never thought in a million years. I mean, it's not on my 2022 bingo card that Pete Davidson would be an actor that I like.
Yeah.
That was probably an almost bigger twist than the ending of the movie. It's like, never mind, Pete Davidson was the killer who killed himself.
Accidentally.
And then everyone else starts offing each other because they got to find out who killed him. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was so well played and it was funny. And it was, I don't know, they were likable. And yeah. I hated that, but I also loved it at the same time. So
the film opens with this lesbian makeout. Which I was like, oh my God, over
gratuitous and way too long.
It was a perfect length, personally. But, it started and I was like, what? And then I'm like, I was a little suspicious at it, honestly, because mm-hmm. I was like, this feels like 80s kind of, I don't know, like boredom when lesbianism just started getting cool in the horror genre or whatever. Like, why are you're taking a little lot of time with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a suspicion that this might be actually a good film. The hiding, you know, it reminded me of Cabin in the Woods, how the first, like,
I was thinking the same thing,
how the first 20 minutes or 30 minutes is a completely different, looks like, it's a typical dumb film. And yeah. It's actually smart and they're tricking you, like getting you ready for it to make it even seem smarter. Yeah. Great setups. The knife that Davidson kills himself with, right? Like I was so pissed in some ways when I saw that we see it at the end, how he did it. I was like, how did I not remember that sword? You knew it was going to get used. It has to, by Chekhov's law, that is going to be used. And I totally forgot about it. For those of you that don't know, the Anton Chekhov playwright said, if a gun appears in the first act, it has to be used in the third.
Exactly.
So got to be used. So you always watch for that gun, the metaphoric gun of whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I knew it would show up somewhere. Like as soon as the guy was like, oh, I found it on the wall. I'm like, that's a house with weapons in it.
Yeah. So
it's going to be like Clue.
Yeah.
And something's going to go down. Well, then you find out it's dumbass in the backyard with his own dad's sword, trying to open up a freaking bottle of Vif Cluco, trying to be a badass. It ain't going to work, kids.
Yeah.
Just pop it and hope for the best.
Yeah.
It doesn't end well.
Okay. So what else, Pete Davidson, a favorite. I loved, agree 100% there. Loved him. What else about the film? Anything that stood out to you as a awesome?
Stood out as awesome. Yeah. God. It had so many misdirects that it kept going, okay, it's going to be them. It's going to be them. It's going to be them. It took so many turns, but then still ended up where it needed to. I think it had the perfect roadmap. Let's see. How do I want to say it?
It was so well. I mean, they crafted it, really. It was so crafted that I was like, it made me not think I can't make a movie. It's like when I see great comedy and I was like, I should just quit.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, this was so good. I don't think I can create something this good. And that makes me sad. Like, why should I bother anymore? And I was like, how did you do it? Did you know how you were going to end it? Like, I really want to know how they got there with it. Like, do you know how it's going to end? Because I often will write I know the characters and I see where it's going to go, or I kind of have an idea of where it's going to go, but they can take me anywhere. But I'm like, this had to have been, did they know at the end that was this? I mean, I know scripts get rewritten and stuff, right? But I was like, how long did they know that it was, that's how he died? Or did you, was that the starting point?
And I could see backwards? That answer. Well, there's all those Final Destination or 1,000 Ways to Die.
Yeah.
And then Darwin Awards. And there's all this talk about oh, these kids are so stupid, they'll end up offing themselves.
That's true. Yeah.
And here we are, a bunch of stupid rich kids that, are turning against each other. They've got shitty friendships. None of them are true to anybody.
Yeah.
And here you go. What's going to happen? They're going to try and look cool making a TikTok video.
Yeah.
And kill yourself with it. What kind of sword was that? It wasn't a samurai sword. It wasn't a katana. It was a something Russian metal something.
The only loose end they didn't quite tie up, and I don't know, was the, what was her name? The foreign girl.
What was her name?
Yeah, I'll look it up here. That she found the panties.
Mm-hmm.
And so she knew her girlfriend had cheated on her.
Yes.
And she had said no, right? I mean, part of it was like, she's lying to you. We know she's lying. And she hadn't brought him up yet, even. And they're getting the phone to prove it when we find out what happened, right? So. Yeah. Part of me was like, I was like, well, what happens to their relationship? Are they, because the girl she cheated on, she's dead now. So,
yeah.
But can you never trust her now? Besides, it might be hard to be together after all this anyway. But and you thought she might be a killer because she lied. For a moment, you thought she was a murderer.
Yeah. Well, they probably wouldn't have ended up with Pete Davidson's phone and found out that he killed himself if there wasn't the whole cheating aspect, because that was the whole check her texts, check her texts. Let me see your phone. Let me see your phone. They were fighting over getting to that phone.
Now, was that phone just out hanging out in the, by the pool?
Yes.
Okay. So when the phone had gone in the water, they were trying to get it, and then they just saw the other phone happened to be there.
And they thought that it was her phone. Cause when they were wrestling after it, she's like, wait, this isn't my phone.
Yeah.
And that's when it was like, oh, there's a video here, and they hit play, and then he's like,
trying to
open up the bottle. What they didn't tie in is Chick's mom. Why was she having to have her phone on a signal? Why did she have to call her mom and check in? Because I was thinking that her mom was a red herring, that it was going to be I have my location. Mom's going to come kill us.
Which one's mom?
The weird foreign girl.
Oh, yeah.
Blanchick.
Okay.
But that was a point that never got tied in.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that was something that got left off during one of the screen rewrites. They're like, well, I can't really do anything with that. Okay. champagne. That's the killer.
Mm-hmm. Vanity. Okay. Then I always talk, try to talk about a few things that didn't work for me, and it mm-hmm. was hard. Okay. Hard for this one. I put that, I was really scraping for something on this. Cause mm-hmm. I was like, it is definitely a film of convenience. They set it up a little perfect. Just the right circumstances to it because even in the end, like when they found his body, nobody, if his phone had been found at any point, right, it would have been mm-hmm. done. Like they would have just, there's a lot of convenience for it to happen. The car had to not been able to start everything. The second, some exposition to explain dumb things people did. So, you get that in a lot. I'm trying to remember why I wrote that note now. But there's people do dumb things. They do a lot in comedies. That's just what happens. They do dumb things and then they have to explain it and they use exposition. They moved on. But then the third thing I put was, I just kind of cheated. I put my lack of time machine to go back in time and watch this again for the first time, because it's going to be one of those films that you'll never get that back.
You know,
of seeing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and that's almost every mystery is once you know who did it, then it's like, well, I'll never have that fun again. So now you have to enjoy it for different reasons. And I think this is definitely a film that, oh, the first time.
Mm. It had a great twist.
Yeah.
Just like, I think we both sat there for a while, like that really just ended like that. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. They really did that. I don't think I've ever seen a twist like that. Now I'm trying to think if I have, or if that was original. Hell if I know. I'm going to go off on a tangent. Yeah.
And then this is a reminder that next time I'm going to send you my review first to look at, to remind you.
Yeah, probably.
I, one of my favorite film critics out there, it's a website, called Every Movie Has a Lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And breaks down the lessons learned from each film. And so it made me really start thinking about like what lessons, when I watch a movie, I try to like, what can I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I did feel like, I was like, man, I don't really think of horror usually as a genre that I'll learn much from about life or humanity. But I did say, I think there was a lot of lessons about white privilege. I mean, mm-hmm. ableism, even though they made a joke about it. There was a profound moment. There was an interesting thing when they talked about that, the girl, the main black girl, when they said, I'm doing drugs and then I'm an addict who had to go to rehab and the rest of you are doing drugs and you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was like, I was just like, oh, that's fire. Like so right. How you label them and they're real. And yeah, there's a lot of privilege in this, and I think you take it away. But ultimately, I came up with something like, I was like, you know, being an ally is great, but making yourself empty inside is horrible. That's a lesson I got from this. I don't know. Did you feel like there was anything you learned from the film, or not that you learned it, but do you think there was a lesson that they were trying to say in it, or one that kind of came across that you could say like, oh, I think that's a good example of.
Yeah. Well, sacrificing yourself in the name of social media, like near decapitation, yeah. Making a TikTok video. People have died trying to take selfies over the edge of a cliff. And like, there are certain things that, you know, it does pose some danger and people are putting themselves in that danger for likes and follows. So I think that was one thing that it touched on. Let's see, knowing the people that you're hanging out with a little bit better, like the trust, the knowing the past, the whether or not you actually want to be stuck in a house with these people. Like, one chick brought a dude, she'd known him for what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
And you're bringing him over to your buddy's house full of weapons and swords. And I mean, if anything, dude was an accomplice. He brought the murder weapon out and was like, hey, watch this.
Is that, do you, from your observations, I'm not sure if I can even speak on this. If I have, do you feel like the current generation, because yours is over 18 at least, like, mm-hmm. do you think they form friendships and a relationship too fast now, or like faster than in the past, like in person, that were in person then? Because I'm like, I know people, I was like, I know a lot of lesbians, so I know relationships can move fast.
Well, my kid's not really a good example of that, because he's like, you know, he doesn't date a whole lot because he's like, well, you know, I want to get to know them. I want to be their friend first. And we're like, oh, so you want to get friend zoned and you want to like not ever have a girlfriend because you just want to be friends with everyone, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, my kid goes for longevity, whereas a lot of people, they're like, oh, I friended you. Cool. Let's bone. Like, there's no kind of timeline anymore. It's social media, physical, anything, whether it be a friendship, relationship, or calls for booty. I don't know. I've been out of the game too long. I don't know what it's called anymore. Yeah.
I think they do booty call. It's, yeah, I mean, they are. See, I feel like a prude when I say some things, because I'm like, oh, this sounds prudish, but like, shouldn't it be special? Don't you want to be special? Like, some, like, what's special?
We've known each other a while. What's your favorite color? I want to know your middle name. And then they're like, I don't even, his screen name is, what's his credit
Was there a line in there about, do you even know what his middle name? Yeah. Oh, do you even know his middle name?
That's what does he do? How much does he make?
I did know, like, there was someone my age who was like, maybe a little younger, I guess, to be honest, I'm older. But telling me about, like, she's like, was telling, like, yeah, no, on, but she was telling me about, Tinder, right? Years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what you do? Cause I was like, I thought that was for like 22-year-olds. And I was like, you're a grown ass woman. You're doing that. She's like, well, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I need like a hookup. Cause I was like, oh, you do it for relationships too. And she's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, what? But, and she's like, yeah, I'm going out with a guy this tonight, whatever. I'm like, oh, like, really? Like, but then I was like, oh, I feel sad. I'm like, I'm like an older generation. I'm like, I
kind of feels, well, like a mail order bride.
Well, then, you know, I'd still get lost. I'm like, well, how do you make it special with somebody? Like, or, and then I'm like, well, maybe I'm putting too much into it. Is that like one of my problems? Should I have been?
Well, if they're going to break up and get back together over text, you got to get to know each other over text. And I think this is just where we are now. It's emoji. Yeah. You're getting together based on emojis. It's all about the peach and the eggplant now. That's it.
Oh, man, I said I was going to try to keep this podcast clean too, but I'm just, you know.
Really?
Well, I try because I don't want to get it. I won't get it. Look, I won't be explicit. I won't be explicit.
Okay. All right.
But it is like, I've heard the generation now that's growing up with free access to porn is having a bad relationship with how you're supposed to, like, in the bedroom be with, like, women. Like, you're like, no, you don't do that.
That's
not a real thing.
That was why we had such heavy, like, restrictions on internet for my kid. It's like, I don't want you to have an unhealthy expectation of sex. It's not like that.
Right. But then even women are like thinking, oh, I need to do that because that's what they do. They're going to expect.
I mean, the cool ones are.
The ones I would want to date.
I mean, my role models, but okay.
So yeah, I'm just, I am lost on like how to, and you can't tell a kid now to like, no, make it, oh, you should really wait,
make it special.
Make it special. Oh. It just sounds so ridiculous when they're sending pics to each other, you know. And my big thing is I've told my daughter, I was like, look, kids kill themselves because they send a nudie. Mm-hmm. And then it gets leaked, even though you don't think mm-hmm. you did. And then they kill themselves. So I just don't want you to do that. So just don't.
Yeah.
That's why. Not because of moral grounds.
I don't want you to die.
I just want you to kill yourself because you're upset because someone got a hold of a phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
your butt is on.
I'm not going to try. Water. I'm not trying with the special. Whatever. Yeah. But that, I mean, boy, they did really cover the gamut with this. The hitting the generations, all their different vices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but seriously, like I never did drugs when I was young, and I'm glad because I'm like, save some for later. Like, what if you do everything before you're 21? There's like, it's not special. Turning 21 is boring, right?
Can confirm. I'm a science.
Yeah,
that's straight up fact, man.
I'm like, you can't even drive a car. You can't even rent a car yet.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you should save some things. Like, if that's the only thing you have, if renting a car is the only thing you haven't done by the time you're 26, dude, you got a long life to go. I hold out on my wife sometimes just because I want things to look forward to. No, I don't. She just says no.
Oh, good.
It's, yeah. Anyway, I think it was good satire. Heavily rewatchable film.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote my final word on it is, if you want a great laugh in a Scream movie, Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is it. It definitely has the blood and guts of a horror film, but it's a comedy, makes me forget all that. This is close to the most fun I've had in a theater this year. It's your most because it was your only movie of the year, right? In the theater?
I have not been in a theater since before pandemic. So this was a big thing.
I'm giving this it's a second place, if not a tie. Lost City was the other one that I had an intense amount of fun film in. Sandra Bullock and
I did like your review on that. I'm gonna have to watch it.
Oh, I love it. It's free. It's on Prime, I think. Free or
okay, cool.
Paramount Plus.
Still have that too.
Though it was such a fun, and this was one. It was like that as far as holy shiitake, that was a fun film.
Yeah, had more laugh out loud moments than it did jump scares.
Yeah,
so that it was so good.
And I did watch the trailer, and I was like, you know what? I'm glad after, and I said, I'm glad I didn't see that trailer. I am glad. I love not seeing trailers now. I rarely watch a trailer. I get there's a lot of movies I get asked to review that aren't going in theaters. If I know nothing about it at all and I'm not sure if I want to watch it, then I will watch a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
This was my second offer to see Bodies, Bodies. I was a full week, so I was like, I can't go see this too. And so I didn't look it up. And then it was the only offering that week. And I was like, you know what? I'll see this. This Pete Davidson, I'll check him out. I've kind of liked things that he saw, so or that I've seen him in. I'll see how it is. Then, So I don't. I watched a movie last night that was horrible, or two nights ago. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if I didn't watch the trailer? I just took faith on what it was because I didn't want to get it ruined. Maybe I wouldn't have watched it. I don't know. But this is a good one. This is a good one.
Absolutely.
So if you want to trust me, just watch with that. You know what I also love about Pete Davidson? I love that he's not, I mean, maybe I'm missing them, but he doesn't appear to be doing movies where he is the star. He seems to be doing more ensemble
cast
or supporting character. And I think that is a very clever from SNL alum. David Spade did that too. When he took a TV show, he was offered a lot of starring roles and he turned them all down and took a supporting role in one.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasted, you know, 8 seasons, Suddenly Susan. And then Just Shoot Me. I think is one he took. Mm-hmm. If I'm remembering right.
You are. Yeah.
Okay. So he had two big hits and most people don't get two. Right. Mm-hmm. And because he went for the supporting role, and Pete Davidson, I think, is playing the smart role and doing that. Take interesting roles in interesting films and then, you know, and see where it takes you. And I think it's making him a good actor too. So he's not having to like jump in as a non,
which I didn't actor, expect. Actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't expect. That's like,
sorry, Pete.
That's the biggest spoiler alert. Pete Davidson is a pretty damn good actor and likable in this freaking movie. And I did not expect that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little disappointed in myself.
No, I think there's a pretty good consensus, you know, that maybe things will turn for him now. People are going to be like, now I want to see him do some dirt.
Might get a girlfriend.
Might get a girl. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, I wonder what that's like for him. Can he move up?
As a woman, I would be lying if I didn't say I wasn't curious. What's up with the BDE, man?
What? Wait, what? The BB?
You said you're keeping this a clean show, Silas. We're not getting into it.
Okay.
He's got energy, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I'm curious. I mean, if he could drop like a Tommy Lee Instagram selfie, we could put that baby to bed. I wouldn't have to wonder so much anymore.
Did Tommy Lee do that?
Dude, just the other day.
Oh, really? Is that a new
Tommy? Like just sitting there with the baby leg hanging out while he's sitting on the toilet. And I wasn't mad about
it. Don't they censor it for Instagram? Does Instagram not censor?
It was up for a good hour before it was caught.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, that's not allowed, is it?
Oh, a really good hour. No, I got to thank Sherry. Sherry Hardman was the one that posted and was like, go check out Instagram. And I'm like, I think I will. God bless Sherry. She's good people.
Yeah. Keeping an eye out for folks.
Exactly, right?
Is that what you do? So I just hope I don't want Pete's career to be so bad that he feels like he needs to do that.
I don't think he needs to. I think he's highly sought after based on his track record. Yeah. And now it's like, it's just a thing. It's like Pete Davidson becomes single and all of a sudden you start hearing a buzz in Hollywood and it's like, who's going to be next? Who's going to be next? I don't even know who to put my money on.
Look,
Lady Gaga.
Things you never thought would happen. Pete Davidson would be a good actor, and that Pete Davidson would be like the most eligible bachelor in Hollywood.
He looks like Beetlejuice alive. Yeah. I don't get it. The guy needs an iron infusion and some sunlight, but somehow he's got like a freaking full dating schedule. I don't get it. My son's over here blowing red curry out of his nose. This is great. We're ruining this generation.
awesome. So, okay. Hey, I want to thank you for watching a movie.
Thank you for inviting me.
Lindenstein. That was great. Good hearing your insights on the film and discussing it. I don't know. You know, first time having someone on this show. So I don't have like I don't have a thing. Like, I don't know. It's not an interview.
There's no sign off yet. No song for us to sing.
Oh, a song. I need a song. Somebody, listeners out there.
Let's all go to the snack bar. Let's all go.
That would be good. What is your favorite? What's your favorite snack at a movie?
Starburst. Unwrapped. Mini.
Wait. Did you say unwrapped?
Mm-hmm. The little itty bitty Starbursts that are unwrapped and already in a bag, to where you don't got to mess around with that wax paper. You just grab a handful, shove them in your pie hole, chew for about 30 minutes and then repeat.
They sell those at the theater?
Where have you been? Yes.
I've never seen that.
You can even buy a bag of all reds and pinks. It's called the Fava Reds.
I think I've heard of that, but I didn't know you could buy like just unwrapped.
A bag and they're unwrapped already.
But like, they want the flavors mix? The flavors don't mix?
It's not liquid. This is a hard taffy. It's a starburst. They're magic. I can't explain it. They might be made by elves and trees. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But that, what is your favorite?
It's a, well, lately I've been doing a popcorn red vine combo. Like I eat the, you know, like I learned about putting chocolate into popcorn. Like you take some like chocolate.
Whatever. Goobers and popcorn. That's where it's at.
Oh, is that okay? Throw it in there. I didn't eat goobers until like 5 years ago, to be honest. I never, the name was weird to me and I never tried them. And then I was like, wait, it's just peanuts.
It's peanuts.
That's it.
Chocolate covered peanuts.
I was like, this is good.
They're little poopies.
Lately I've been doing that. I was into it, you know, for a while was the cold, what's the mint ice cream? The Joy Kisses.
Oh, York peppermint patty?
No, the
Oh, dibs.
No.
What?
Joy? Isn't it a joy? The little, like they're just little kisses kind of, but they're peppermint. And you drop them. Is that not a
what? Huh?
Hold on. Wait.
Joy.
Movie candy.
This doesn't sound joyful at all.
I don't
small
think
tiny peppermint? This sounds like old people candy. This is it's depression, not joy.
Sugar mints.
Oh my God. That is so
joy. It has a J in it.
You could have been like that one thing that Frasier dropped in a guy.
I just, yeah, Junior Mints.
Okay.
I like it was a Junior Mint, cold Junior Mints for a while, but now lately it's been Twizzlers. Cold I thought Junior. I thought a year of going to movies, I would be sick of eating popcorn.
Mm-mm.
No. Nope. What? Why? I don't know.
Never going to happen. Mm-mm.
Okay. So favorite snack is, so for you, favorite snack is the star unwrapped Starburst.
Yes. Unwrap Starburst. Judge me if you must.
No, I don't know they exist, so I'm gonna have to go next time and go.
I mean, I'll say goobers if you want me to sound normal.
No. Favorite movie genre is
horror comedy.
Horror comedy. Okay. Do you have Desert Island Films? Do you have your Desert Island film?
Movies I would take to a desert island, or movies like, about a desert island
that you would take.
6 days, 7 nights.
Island? Wait, to take to a desert island.
Oh, to take to a desert island. Okay. Mean Girls.
For practice? Like what?
Like, because it's one of those movies I could always watch.
Yeah, okay.
I never get sick of it. For some reason, Mean Girls is where it's at. American Psycho. Thirteen Ghosts.
I don't know this movie. I haven't heard of that. So I'm going to look that up. 13 Ghosts.
Yep.
Look, I always have to excuse.
Early 2000s.
Look, I have three kids. Okay. Mm-hmm. One born 2007. One born in 2015. And one born in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I demand forgiveness for the 1 year following any of their birthdays that I am not expected to have seen any movie that came out in those years.
This came out in like 2000, 2001. So if you've got an excuse for like you hadn't had kids yet for over half a decade, I mean, I'm willing to listen. But
I was recovering from 2K, Y2K. It was 9/11. We were all in shock. Yeah, but
Matthew Lillard was in like every movie. How could you have not seen 13 Ghosts? I think we were required to see Matthew Lillard.
I will admit though, that does rub into my complete snobbery of theater period in my life, where I was like, theater's where it's at. Films aren't real. Theater.
Okay. Gotcha.
It was near the end of that. I was almost done with that because Stargate had started making me rethink some things and over the years and going, maybe sci-fi is that. Cause I would watch sci-fi, you know, but then, you know, and now I might be the opposite. I don't know. Now I'm into like theater's pretentious. But except if I see a musical, then I'm like, I paid for this. This is wonderful. No.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's what is the worst movie you love?
The worst movie I love.
Yeah, that movie that you know is not good, but if it's on the TV as you are proverbially flipping through channels, let's say channels still existed and you're flipping through and you came across that, you would put the remote down and go, I'm going to watch this bitch. This is
UHF.
UHF. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a solid bad movie. I'll tell you, mine is The Core.
Oh, that's such a good one.
It's so bad.
It's like so bad, but it's good.
I have seen that so many times, not like from beginning to end, but like partway, it's already started going through. It was on TV. I'm like, boom, I am watching this for the next hour. This is going to be awesome. It's so bad. Day After Tomorrow, also 2012. Love those. But The Core is the fundamental science of it is so awful. I can't help myself.
Truly is.
With such a impeccably wonderful actress, Hilary Swank.
Mm-hmm.
Movies that you go, oh, did you sign on to this before you won?
The Fourth Kind was kind of like that too. It's like Hilary Swank took some movies where it was like, are you just like riding on the coattails of Million Dollar Baby and Boys Don't Cry? They like, said, are you taking shit
they
gigs?
Said don't
like,
refer. They said don't turn down gigs. They didn't mean it when they
she's
said.
She's caging is what she's doing. Okay.
Hedging my bet. She's Nick
Cage. Like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, she owes some money. Owes some money.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? This is what I'll do. I got my 7 questions on Black and a Half. I'm going to have to come up with 7 movie questions for my guest to find out a little bit about them. This is a good start. Good riffing. Thank you for the riffing improv.
Oh, you're very, that's my gig, man. That's my jam. I do.
Awesome. So again, thank you for watching a film with Silas.
You're watching the movie with Silas when it's dying in the theaters. You find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it, oh, we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Yeah. Whether big or they small, no, for me, don't make a difference. Love them. You're watching the movie with Silas when it's dying in the theaters. You find this. Yeah. So go on and press play and rewind this. This feature is timeless. Love it like it, or we lose it, can't find it. Yeah. And we ain't keen on being reminded. But the film, if it didn't hit, no, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Yeah. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah. Yeah.